On the tee from the United States of America, the Back Nine Bros, starting in 3, 2, 1.
Well, 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 everyone. Bet you didn't expect to hear me back on the microphone. This is Saul. Back for another Back Nine Bros. I said back twice there. We're here for another Back Nine Bros episode. We've got Coop on the line. We've got Paul. Just watched Scottie Scheffler get it done. Two-time Augusta National Masters Tournament winner. I was going to say dramatic fashion, but, I mean, it wasn't very dramatic. I'll see if Paul and Coop disagree with me. But, ladies and gentlemen, that's first major in the books for 2024. I think it was pretty good. Out of a, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say it was probably a 7.
Really, that high?
I didn't. Yeah, it's still Augusta. It's still like the par 3 tournament. You got to factor all that stuff in. There was carnage. We were seeing winds blowing at like sustained 30 mile an hour gusts, and then at gusts were like 60. So I'll just open it up to you guys here. I mean, I'm kind of dusting off the commentary voice right now, so I'll let you two boys take it away, and then I'll throw some matches onto the pile of gasoline and see if we can get some fire going.
Yeah. I mean, look, I understand why you think it's a 7. I mean, yeah, I agree. The carnage made it a little interesting. It's just like, you know, that back nine, it's just the last 5 years, I feel like every back nine, it hasn't been as entertaining. It's always been a four or five shot lead. You know, there was a point where, you know, when Ludwig made it on 14, but then Scotty backed it right there. And that was pretty much the tournament. I mean, look, if Ludwig didn't hit that second shot on 11 in the water, who knows what would have happened? I mean, Scotty would have been feeling more pressure. I mean, look, you know, Ludwig could have probably would have birdied 15 too. Dude, it could have gone a whole different direction. And look, I enjoyed most of the week. I really did. When it was a point today where I thought we could be seeing like a 3-4-man playoff, I was like, this could be fucking sick, dude. I've been waiting for a Masters playoff for so long. I feel like we haven't had one. I can't remember the last one we had. It was Adam Scott in 2013 with Angel Cabrera just screaming, Wele, Wele, every 5 seconds. I think that could have been the last one. But yeah, dude, I mean, the Masters, obviously we all love it. You know, Scotty's just, he's a robot again, man. He's a robot. It's crazy. I mean, you know, right when he got that lead back to himself, you knew, all right, he's just going on cruise control and he's just going to take care of business. Coop, correct me if I said anything you disagree with.
Real quick, last playoff was Justin Rose and Sergio Garcia.
Oh, fuck, you're right. I'm an idiot.
That was 18, I think, or
yeah.
17.
Or 17, yeah.
Yeah, that. I have three major takeaways from this. You guys are 100% right. Not much carnage. It was just a grind. I'm almost exhausted. I'm pretty exhausted watching that tournament. Those guys were battling the course. The win was ridiculous all week. I can't believe we saw this many under par scores. I mean, what was it? 8 guys under par. I thought it'd be much, much less. And even an 11 under tournament win. Granted, the wind was a little bit down today. Still, that's shocking to see. But hey, it kind of separated the best from the rest. And then I would say I would rank, that's probably the least important takeaway. Second best. I think we have a rising star now in Ludwig Åberg. He didn't get it done this week, but you saw the nails that this kid had. And I think he finally introduced himself to the world for the casual fans, for the, you know, not like we've known about him for a while, but I think the rest of the world knows about him and he's going to be a dominant force for years to come. And I think he could win a major this year. And then lastly, Scotty, he's just undisputed. He's the undisputed king of golf. Trevor Immelman mentioned that he's the undisputed number one player in the country right now. And I think he proved it today. Now let's see how far he can go. Let's see if he can build it from just having these two Masters. Can he pull it off on a US Open style course? It seems like in the past few years, when he won that first one in 22, he had a great start to the year. He would win I think he won the API. I think he won the players that last time around when he won in 22. He did it this year. But the rest of the year, I mean, he was getting those top tens and everything, but he couldn't pull off the win. There are a couple times his putter screwed him over a couple times. He looked great on the greens. He looked great on the greens all week. I think stats wise, I think he ended up being fourth in putting. Can he continue that? Can he continue that into a US Open? Can he continue that into the PGAs and the Open Championships? Because right now he's the top guy. There's a lot of other very good guys that can jump up, but that could end for him like that. So congrats to him. What a week. What a grind. It's the Masters, man. It's always entertaining. And last but not least, hats off, four on out. Cheers to the great Vern Lundquist making his final call this week. Absolute pleasure to listening to him for my whole life, not only for college football, but for golf, for other sports too. Cheers to him. He's fantastic, and there's really nobody like him. So,
yeah, well said, I mean, buddy. You went in there. Let's pull that apart real quick. Scotty, 28% of Scotty's holes were birdie holes. Compare that to the field where it was 16%. He was a little under on the par percentage, but I mean, that's just because he was outweighted on the birdie percentage. Also, I mean, he was 7 points under the rest of the field in bogeys, right? At field average was 20%, and his bogeys, I think 13% of the holes he bogeyed. So, I mean, just breaking that down, I mean, he is the undisputed top dog. I mean, this was his fifth Masters appearance, and he won in 2022 by 3 shots over Rory. I mean, he's 27 years old. This year on tour, he's already made going to the tournament $11.4 million in just tournament purses and winnings. So this will push him over 14. And he's going to be a new dad. I mean, pretty good lifestyle. I hope he does not do what Sergio did and name his kid after some like Augusta flower, like Azalea or something like that. Because come on, that was kind of a tool move to be like, I'm going to name my daughter Azalea and we're going to get her. Actually, I can't say that on here, but look up Sergio Garcia's past quarrels with other pro golfers and you'll figure it out. But what I want to point at is Oberg, dude, he's a stud. He is a stud. I don't know if you guys saw it when he was walking off 9, like high-fiving people. He had like the chocolate power bar in his hand. I know they mentioned this in the broadcast a couple of times, but fan knocked it out. Like, he just looked like he was there, like taking it all in, enjoying every moment. What I do want to point to, though, the one thing that I thought was kind of hysterical, I was scrolling on Twitter or X and saw like Neil Shipley, right? He's the low amateur who won. Apparently someone wrote him a note and handed it to him on a piece of paper. But he's an amateur, so like he can't be taking any money on the course. And when a reporter asked him about that in the post press conference, he's like, "I don't know what you're talking about. Like that never happened." And the reporter's like, "No, but I saw someone write something down, like hand you a piece of paper." He's like, "No, that never happened. I don't know what you're talking about." So there might be a little bit of a rule breaker there, but good for him. He should be getting paid for, even just his travel should be comped or something like that. I think Max Homa really fell off the wagon there. He said that he knew he had that quote-unquote dog in him. He doesn't have the grit. Like he just looked soft. He wasn't committing to shots. It didn't seem like he was that confident over the ball. A couple of putts didn't go his way. And on the other hand, you had pre-Madonna Colin Morikawa.
Yep.
Like, I got greedy out there. I was just too greedy. Like, he was saying after his round, like, you weren't too greedy. You just weren't hitting your shots where they needed to be hit. And you got too aggressive at times. And, like, if you were actually, like, playing the right line or not getting too aggressive, like, you were right there at first. Like, you didn't just get too greedy. You just flat out fucking sucked.
Yeah. So you're spot on.
That's my 2 cents, or maybe make it $50. I don't care.
You're spot. You're 100% spot on. And let me just jump in real quick. I think you're exactly right on Homa. I thought he played very defensive this week. I mean, you could tell that I think his third round card there, I'm pretty sure it was just one birdie, one bogey. That's it.
It was just one bogey, 17 pars.
And then I think one bogey, 17 pars. Exactly. And I think today when he realized, oh shit, I got to start chasing. That's when things started to fall off. If he stuck with the same plan, if he stuck with that very conservative plan, he would have been closer. I'm sure he would have been in second place there. Matt, you mentioned at the beginning, one missed shot on 11. That's a whole different, take away that shot on 11, whole different tournament. It's just, I think Scotty with the experience, been there before, that shows his nails. And granted, him being the greatest ball striker since Tiger is just another thing above that. Last thing, you're 100% right on Morikawa. Fuck you. Fine. Be greedy. No, you just lost it. You lost. That's simple as that.
Go ahead, Coop. I was just going to.
No, that's it.
Oh, before I go into, spewing about Colin Morikawa, I do think we ought to bring this guy to everyone's attention. I mean, because he does deserve a lot of credit, too. I mean, this is his fourth Masters victory, Ted Scott. He's got two with Bubba, and now two with Scott.
Those were back-to-backs. Those were what?
Or 2012, 2014, almost back-to-back.
But it's like the same back-to-back dynamic.
Yeah, you're right.
Scotty with like
– yeah.
So who won in between there? I'm just trying to
piece 13 together. Was Adam Scott. Last year was Rom.
So, yeah.
That I didn't know.
That's just like the coolest dynamic ever, right? Winning it 2 years in a row, like, what, are you going to put the green jacket on yourself? Like, okay, whatever. Shut up. But for Bubba, it was like he won, and then he put the green jacket on Adam Scott, and then he had Adam Scott put the jacket back on him. Same thing here. Scheffler wins. DJ puts the jacket on Scheffler, right? Or is someone else that I'm missing?
Originally it was Hideki.
Hideki, okay. So it went Hideki, then it went Scheffler, and then Scheffler to Rahm, and then Rahm back to Scheffler. And that's just like kind of a storybook, cool little tradition there. But go ahead, spewing, Pulv. I want you.
And then Ted Scott, legend. Same thing with Tiger and Phil in 05.
That's right.
Yeah, it was, I think, 06 Phil. 07 Tiger?
Yeah.
No.
No, 07 was Zach Johnson.
No, it was 04 Phil, 05 Tiger, 06 Phil.
And then 07 Zach.
Like, all those guys are buddy, but like Rahm and Scotty are buddy buddy. And I'm sure Bubba and Adam Scott were buddy buddy. Phil and Tiger hated each other back then. So that was
they still hate each other.
Not as much as Sergio Garcia and Tiger was, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Johnson. I think the last thing it's a shame that I thought like the three takeaways I had, like, usually in another tournament I'd have a bunch more. I think last year's US Open I had 15. Like, just having three, it just everything figured itself out at the end. And I would say this is probably not going to be one of the memorable Masters. Maybe we look back in 10 years, this is the coronation of Scotty if he continues his dominance like he did. But that's I have no idea. I have no idea how this is going to be looked at in 5 years. It's just kind of like had a, you know, fizzled out ending. If say a couple shots went differently, maybe it could have been a much better one.
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree. You know, speaking of Zach Johnson, before I forget, I don't know if you guys heard what happened with him yesterday. Yeah, Sol's nodding his head. So yesterday, I think it was on the 12th green. He was like looking at, he missed a putt or something, and he was looking out to the heavens, and some people were kind of like booing him for no reason, just obviously a little Ryder Cup flashback, little hit to him, and he goes, "Fuck off." And he got asked about it, And he was like, no, I was talking to myself. This has been going on with Zach Johnson the last couple of months. First, we saw it at Phoenix at the Waste Management. Now here, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where, I mean, a guy like that, a class act, Masters champ, two-time major champion, won the Masters, won the Open at St. Andrews. Yeah, losing Ryder Cup captain last year, or in September, I should say. But you like, you know what? I mean, the players also got to play. And you know, to give that much hate on a guy who's, you know, family man type guy and, you know, really just a class act and true gentleman of the game.
Here's why. Let me interject. Fans don't care about that. It's what have you done for me lately? And I bet you the people that were chirping him had no idea he won a Masters before or he won at St. Andrews. Okay. They saw the embarrassment of the Ryder Cup last year, and that's why. It's a sad fact. And you know what? They're probably also casual golf fans that, you know, they got these Masters tickets through work, free tickets, great trip to Augusta, once in a lifetime opportunity. And they realize, oh, wait, I remember the Ryder Cup. F that guy. So, you know what? It's just casuals being casuals is what it is.
I think that Zach Johnson still thinks he's got it. He doesn't. He's an old guy. Exactly. And he's got to take it more like the tournament, more like VJ. VJ is out there playing with Hoka running shoes for crying out loud. Not even golf shoes. He said, oh, I bought it in my foot. I don't really like it. Like when I wear golf shoes and stuff like that. So I just want to make a point that, look, Zach, you're past your prime. Grow up, be a man, and just go for the tradition and the honor. Do the same thing Freddie does. Do the same thing Marco Mira would do for years. And be like VJ or, hell, I don't know. Be more like Tiger.
But most of those guys, Tiger at least said he's only showing up because he thinks he can win. I mean, what makes you think Zach still thinks, what does that have to do with the fans chirping him, though?
He's just turn cheek, man. Like, be the bigger man. Like, they're paying, the people are coming out to see you play golf, and you're getting pissed off because you aren't good enough at the game to play to your expectations. And you're getting mad at the fans for jeering or doing whatever, chirping you. Just smile at them. Like, you don't have to say, oh, go fuck off. Like, that's like Shooter McGavin villain moment where he's like, oh, go back to your shanties, people. Like, that's my perspective. Yeah,
so I think exactly what happened was he made like a double or something, and he made a kick in putt, and they started, or he missed the putt, and they started cheering. And then after he finished out, he screamed it. But yeah, it's one of those things, awkward situation, obviously, for him. The one thing why, you know, I think a lot of people also are dissatisfied with him is the whole, I don't know if you guys saw the full swing on him. A lot of people are talking about that Ryder Cup preview dinner he had with Ricky, Jordan, and JT. A lot of people didn't like that scene. So I don't know if that played a factor in it, but I don't know. Sol, did you watch that?
I completely agree. But
saw that. I thought that was wrong. I think it's wrong. I mean, like, yeah, I get it. You're friends, but they're only there because they want to be on your Ryder Cup team. Like, Keegan Bradley, I'll say it over and over again.
Deserved
short
it.
Short end of the stick.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, exactly. I mean, look, he tied for 22. I mean, he was 3 under today. He went 4 over for the tournament. Where's Justin Thomas? Where's Ricky Fowler? Where's mm-hmm. Jordan Spieth? Oh, wait, yeah. They missed the fucking cut.
Ricky made it.
Ricky yeah, made
still,
it?
Yeah, Ricky finished T-35.
It didn't matter. It didn't matter. He's busy winning the par 3 contest. So you're exactly right. And I brought this up on the podcast a couple weeks ago. Zach ended up picking favorites. That's pretty much it. He had a better relationship with Justin. He had a better relationship with Jordan. That's simple as that. Yeah.
What about the Colin Morikawa pick?
Keegan got screwed. Lucas Glover got screwed. He had a great run at the very end of the year last year.
Russell Henley.
He wouldn't even brought up once in full swing. That's It's kind of ridiculous, but that's the thing. You know what? He's going to get some flack, but buddy, you lost. Move on. Stop chirping the fans. Zach Johnson's in the wrong here. It's simple as that.
Lucas Glover, back-to-back wins toward the end of the season, including a playoff win.
It's going to be very funny looking back. If you give Zach some true serum, I wonder like where he placed Lucas Glover in that. Like, was he even like ranked on him?
Coop, you have a little saltiness towards ZJ, huh?
Man, I liked him. I liked him. And it's just it seems like it's a complete heel turn on my end. It's a shame, but let's get back to the Masters. Any final takeaways? Because I know we're talking Heritage as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just everything Ludwig did this week. I mean, just the determination, grit, and just really just great performance, just all week consistency from top to bottom. Just really one bad swing, and one poor decision. I should say by attacking that flag on 11. Other than that, man, him and Joe Skovran make a great team. I really like that duo. And look, it really does kind of remind me of like how him and Ricky used to be. But look, I mean, dude, I couldn't be happier for Ludwig.
Ludwig's like 6'6" and Ricky's not.
Yeah, but
reminiscent of the talk and chatter, just trust right. The swing.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say, I mean, dude, he's going to be a fixture in all these tournaments. I mean, it's going to be
biggest letdowns in this tournament. I'm going to list three here. Koepka, big letdown there. Someone else, Gary Woodland.
Considering the sort, I mean, just had the brain tumor surgery. I mean, you know, coming back.
Yeah, I get that. And Finau, right? Finau,
that one, I agree.
He's usually top 10.
Sahith.
Yeah, Tagala. I mean,
I'll mention my boy Victor Hovland. He shot out of the gate like a freaking cannon, and then just one bad shot on 10, couldn't get back to it, and he just kind of fell apart after that.
I mean, he had his head down the whole time after that. It was insane.
Yeah awful. Is what it is. The course,
you know,
the
what
course can beat you down. That course can get in your head. So,
you know what other player you really didn't see much of, but he was kind of there, just there hanging around, and I expected a big week from him, was No Hat Pat Cantlay.
Yeah.
He probably showed up for a big check in the end of the weekend. Same thing with Tommy Fleetwood. Same thing with Tommy Fleetwood. Has one bad round, and then he appears at the very end and gets a top 10.
How about Burnsy though, dude? Burnsy. I mean, we talked about a coup about him, his wife potentially being in labor, but dude, that was a tough start. I mean, 2-8 over
for two. Okay, it was the conditions were ridiculous. They were very tough.
But I want to point out the least coverage. I don't think I saw a shot from Shane Lowry. I don't think I saw a single shot from Kurt Kitayama, who he went 4-under today, just saying. That round's worthy of a show. And I didn't see anything from Tom Kim.
He shot 6-under.
And he went 6-under. Like, and Fitzpatrick wasn't on the broadcast once. Not once. And he went tied for 22. Like, I just think that, and Patrick Reed tied for 12. I mean, thanks for not showing me Patrick Reed, but still, like, he's tied for 12th. It doesn't get any screen time. I don't know. I think they need to reevaluate.
You know what it is, Saul? You know what it is? If they start showing him, they're going to show how he moves his ball, and they can't promote that.
Then ban him from the tournament, DQ him, assess the penalty stroke.
He's a Masters champ. He's got it for life.
And they're busy showing the pity party for Rory. We're trying to get a top 20. So if you'll go from, it's 10 years. 10 years. Is he ever going to get that final one? Is he ever going to get
that's the issue right there, Coop. That's the issue right there why he's not going to get it, because of all the hype they're putting on it. That's the issue. They're basically.
And he puts so much on himself, too. Like, it's that elusive tournament that he's never going to get. Like, I would bet $100,000 that he never went to Masters.
I'll bet he never wins a major again.
You think he's done, Coop?
Well, remember, there was an episode back in October. I said I was out on him. It may have been like last summer too.
I just think ever since he switched to Nike from Titleist, his game has never been the same.
That's true. All right, let's get to the RBC, Matt. I know you want to talk a lot about that, and I know we don't have that much time left.
Yeah, I mean, dude, signature event now, the Heritage, obviously going to be a great field. You know, it's going to be one of those weeks where very wind dependent, obviously, that course, not very long, as we all know, but I mean, dude, it could play a beast with that wind. Small greens, very narrow, very, you know, shot maker's paradise. And I mean, it's going to, the bigger hitters, it'll take drivers out of the hands because of a lot of dogleg holes, very tree lined. And yeah, it's just one of those courses where you have to be very precise on every single shot. So, I mean, look, I love it. It's, you know, one of those events where, you know, anybody in the field really could win, not just one particular type of player. You know, like last year, Matt Fitzpatrick won. You know, we've seen Jordan win here. We've seen, you know, a bunch of variety of different players win here. So, look, I'm expecting a great week. I mean, Coop, who do you like? You got anybody in mind?
I think 100%. This is Brian Harman's week to lose. Wow. You said it perfectly. Wow. Short hitter, shot maker. Short hitter, shot maker, great putter.
He's like a surgeon in there, Harman. Yeah. Like when he won the Open last year, he was just like in there with his X-Acto knife and his like, scalpel, knife, and he was just carving that course up.
Yeah, that's the thing, and especially in this core and Harbortown's not. I disagree with Matt on like the significance of this week. I'm just not a fan of Harbortown because I hate narrow courses. I hate courses in the woods. I hate that it's not long hitter's paradise. But that's, you're exactly right. It's a shot maker's heaven. And it's just gonna be up to those guys that can just make those putts at the very end of the day. I mean, it looks like Scotty's in the field. I don't know if he's gonna drop out now, but
yeah,
he'll play. But you think he's gonna really care? I mean, millions of dollars are on the line, so who knows?
I mean, he might have a beat. My wife might have a baby.
No, he's not playing. If you listen to Butler's Cabin, one of the best traditions in golf.
I missed it.
Jim Nantz said, "Hey, Scotty, is there anything you want to say to Meredith who's watching back at home?" He's like, "I'll be home as soon as I can. I love you, and I'll be home soon." There ain't no fucking way Scotty's playing in this field. He's going home. He's on baby watch. He's going to be sitting there in his underwear with a big crucifix hanging from his neck counting his $100 bills on the table like Tony fucking Soprano, okay? Yep. He's there, and he's going to be like, "Oh, new baby? Like, come on, bring it on. We got it." I think the field, though, back to the RBC Heritage, away from my little outcast there. I think there's a lot of guys who could be good. I think you can't really count out Matt Fitzpatrick, although he didn't have the best week at Augusta. He's still the returning champ, right? So we'll see what happens. I think Brian Harman, Fitzpatrick should be top of the field.
Yeah. I think that Brian Harman call is pretty good, but I want to start us off with a DFL. Look, you know, I hate to do it to this guy, but he really hasn't looked great as of late. Nick Dunlap, don't know how he's going to play in a tight course like this. You can't just bomb it anywhere like he did at in the desert at PGA West. So I'm going to go with him for a DFL. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just think it makes sense. Did not look comfortable at all this week. Has not driven it well the last couple months. You have to put the ball in play in this course, obviously.
You're right about
what
that.
You guys think about that?
I like it. Yeah. And that's why I think the guy I'm going to pick for DFL is right on the same wavelength. One or lose here as well. Big hitter. Did not play well this week. He made the cut, but did not play this week. Give me Jake Knapp as DFL.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, so I'm going through this list. There's a lot of names that I'm not familiar with, but one guy who, it breaks my heart to do this, Bucket Hat Pete Malnati.
He won a couple weeks ago.
But I'm not feeling strong on him, dude, especially as after his performance at Augusta. Yeah. He didn't really seem like he had the shot shaping in true form. He might have won a couple weeks ago. Was that a one-off fluke event? Maybe. I'd love for him to prove me wrong. And if he does, then I'm an idiot, which either way, if he goes DFL or not, I'm still an idiot.
So that's your boy, though.
Yeah, but come on. That was my boy in 2016 when he played a practice round the PGA Championship at Baltusrol with Harris English, and was a really nice guy to me and my boys. But still, I'm saying, Pete, see ya at the next one.
Oh, my goodness. Hopefully he hears you, Sullen, proves you wrong.
I hope so. Dude, I'm saying he can call me an idiot if he doesn't DFL, which statistically speaking, he won't DFL, but that's just who I'm throwing out there. Got to be controversial.
All right. Look, you're entitled, so that's fine. So I'm going to go with a guy who, for my dark horse, I should say, I'm going with a guy who is very good on difficult golf courses and not necessarily long golf courses. He played well at Valspar. He played well at Sony. Great putter, Brendan Todd. Had a great season the last few seasons. So-so this year. But look, he plays well on short courses and tight courses. So I think he's a good fit. And I could see him having a really, really solid week.
Smart. Give me Seamus Power as a dark horse.
Really?
Start off the tournaments well, very well as of recently. Let me just give a quick shout out, by the way. I don't think we mentioned it last week, but back on Bros guest, Phil Knowles, great finish down in the Corn Ferry event a couple weeks ago. Won, I think, $150,000. Had the lead, 54-hole lead, ended up getting just tied for third. But hey,
same
Phil,
with Kevin Roy, another guest.
Yep. Right. But hey, shout out to you, Phil. Hope you're listening. Hey, congrats. Comeback's looking good, man. Keep it up.
Much Hell appreciated yeah. there.
Fuck. Let's go, man. So this is dark horse, right? Dark yeah. horse for me is going to be, just had his name, Cam Davis. Played strong, but I'm throwing him in there.
He had a good week there. He had some good highlights this week in the Masters. He'll be up there soon. I just hope
he gets his rest. And yeah, Aussie, Cam Davis. Doesn't look like Cameron Smith, the gas station attendant, so that's why I like him.
That's true.
You know,
all right, Matt, you're top 10.
Well, I just wanted to mention on Cam Davis. I mean, I see why you picked him. Great ball striker. I mean, ball striking machine. Just iffy with that putter, man. That's the only thing holding him back. But look, I mean, he had a good week this week.
Good week at Augusta. I mean, if he rolls it the way he did this week at Augusta, I mean, there's no reason why he shouldn't be at least a lock top.
You're right. So, lock top 10. I had a few guys in mind, but I got to keep – I don't know, man. It's tough. Yeah, fuck it. I gotta roll with the hot hand. You know, a guy who just has been playing well all season long. We touched on him earlier. Russell Henley. I think he's playing some really good golf, and he likes this course. I see him playing well this week.
I agree.
Actually,
on that.
South Carolina boy lives in Kiowa, so I think he could. He likes Hilton Head, so I think it makes sense.
Looking at a lock top 10, I mean, who better than Mr. Consistent, Sepp Straka? I mean, I know he didn't play that well this week, but I feel like this course sets up for him.
He did. I thought he was top 20.
Yeah, I think he was on the first two pages of the leaderboard, was he? But if he was, my apologies. I don't know where he finished.
Like T20 or something? I think plus
probably.
Two. Whatever plus two was, I think.
Yeah, plus two, T16. So
solid.
Yeah, solid. Lock top 10. There you go.
Good pick. Coopy. He's torn.
I mean, I already picked my winner. So
for our listeners there, just real quick, Coop has one of those confused looks when you look at your credit card statement and you see a charge that shouldn't be there, but then you remember, oh wait, I did spend that money. So Coop, go ahead.
I bought how many shots last night?
I went to which bar? Isn't that the one that's not for children?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Soft House DC. Give him my best friend Austin Eckroat.
Look at you.
Yeah.
That's your boy, huh?
Love him.
I don't know enough about him to chirp him, so good pick.
It's a very good pick. I think you guys are gonna be shocked when you hear my pick.
I mean, Luke Donald's not in the field, so who are you picking?
I know. I'm going with a guy who has no PGA Tour wins. However, he is a great player, and it feels like he has one. And he played so well this week. Ball striking machine, just can't figure it out with the putter sometimes. But I like the way he's playing. Great wind player, which you need to be out in Hilton Head. So I'm going with maybe back-to-back Englishman. Fitzpatrick won last year. His fellow Englishman, Tommy Fleetwood, is getting his first PGA Tour win this coming
so,
week.
So, interesting pick. I knew you were, from when you were in the beginning of setting that one up, I knew you were going to go with Tommy. Who's going to caddy for him? Is he going to bring the guy from Augusta, or is he going to get a local Harbor Town guy?
I hope Ian Finnis comes back.
He's got a chest infection. That's not something you can bounce back from. Yeah, that's what they said on the broadcast. He's got a chest infection.
So maybe I got to change it up then. I don't know. I mean,
I just, and the pick's already there. I mean, you made the determination.
I don't want to pick him if he doesn't have Ian on the bag, because that would be so bad. I feel like he's not going to win. Like, that'd be so bad. Like, the one week he's not there, he wins. Like, that'd suck, man.
Then look like Ian, you're out of a job, mate.
He's going to lose. No. He's going to lose out of pity. All right. So while Paul thinks, make your pick. And
I mean, when he won last year, he had braces on. Now that his teeth are a little more straight and pearly whites. Also, his fiance is from my neck of the woods. Actually, it might even be his wife now, Matthew Fitzpatrick. What's not to like? I mean, we frequent the same establishments sometimes. I think he's going to go back-to-back and prove me wrong. I mean, I think he looks good in plaid, and that's the jacket he'll be wearing come next Sunday.
Dude, I have a feeling that could happen. I really do.
I hope not.
I mean, Coop, you got Harman?
I got Harman, Mr. Megacorp. But no, you know my feelings about Fitzpatrick.
I know.
Why? You don't like him? What's not to like? Pride and joy of UK.
Great player. Whatever. I'm jealous of him.
Yeah, I mean, dude, the kid had braces and pulled the smoke, so good for him. Yeah,
I mean, dude, you're a Brit living in the U.S.? Shout out Liam Burke.
No, that kid doesn't deserve a shout out.
Dude, all right, Matt, you changed your pick.
Okay, if Ian is on the bag, it's Tommy Fleetwood. If Ian is not on the bag, it's Harris English.
You picked him for this week, too. You picked him for the
match. I picked him for he was my lock top 10.
Yeah.
My winner.
Okay.
Who was my winner this week was
you picked Matt Fitzpatrick to win.
Oh yeah, 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 I did. Yeah. Harris though was my lock top 10.
Actually, who won this week?
This week, Scottie Scheffler.
No, for like our picks, you and me, man.
Well, I got I think I got old guy. I picked VJ.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure we can do old guy for that, but I think let's just call it a wash, maybe.
My DFL though, I picked Phil. You were right, bad pick.
Yep.
Who did you take?
What's my DFL again?
Who I don't I pick know. DFL?
Oh no, you know what I picked? I picked Neil Shipley.
Told you that was a risky pick.
Yeah, dumb on my end.
We should have listened to each other, Coop.
Yeah. Well, hey, you're far ahead in the points race, so it doesn't really matter anymore.
So I really like Sol's Fitz pick. I think that was a really smart pick. I mean, dude, he loves that place. I mean, he loves that place. He plays there a lot. It sets up perfectly for him. I mean, there really isn't a better course than on the PGA Tour than that for him. So, I think it makes sense. I mean, like I said, if Ian's not in the bag for Tommy, give me Harris, who also very straight hitter. He's a Sea Island boy, so knows how to play in the wind, and he's playing some really good golf. So I think.
All right, ladies.
Yeah.
Does that conclude us for tonight? Any last commentary that you just want to get off your chest, or are we good to run it out?
I mean, Saul, how does it feel to be back? That's what I want to know.
Dude, it feels good to get back in the saddle. That's definitely dusting it off a little bit, but hopefully this will be more of a regular occurrence and not just a one-off every 6 months. Like, oh, great, he's alive. Look at that.
Yeah, you were a little MIA for a little while, or for our listeners, they're probably like, what happened to that?
Yeah, well, as Coop knows, sometimes life gets in the way, but hey, we're back. This was a fun occurrence of the Back Nine Bros Pod, talking to you here about Scottie Scheffler's, I mean, just dominant, played it well, a little bit robotic, poor Homa doesn't have that dog in him.
I have a question before we sign off. I do have a question. Is it too early to say he is low key the best we've seen since Tiger?
Too early for me, at least.
Too early. Ball striking skills, he's comparable, but it all depends on that next major. I think the run that Spieth had in 15 has much more of a magnitude. And then I think the run that Rory went on in 2011 to 2014 was a little bit different as well. So
Dustin.
Sure, a little
dusty,
a tiny bit, but
think you can't put the label of he's the next best thing or the best thing we've seen since Tiger Woods yet. He's got to get at least an open under his belt. He's got to get, if he wins the tour championship this year, then maybe. Also, I mean, hopefully, he's the US's person for the Olympics in Paris, this summer.
If he wants,
I don't know if that's been picked yet, but he should be. If he can get a gold medal, not like it really matters for golf, but built the case a little bit. I mean, if he wins another like Masters, yeah, maybe. But he's got to get another major, preferably a non-Masters major.
I agree.
Well, hope that answered your question, Paul.
It did.
Well, we're wrapping it up. You just had, I don't know, close to an hour uninterrupted of the Back Nine Bros Pod, where we went into the Masters, kind of flamed a few people. Sorry, not sorry. Gave our picks for the RBC Heritage, and look forward to reconvening at some point in the near future. And thank you all for listening.